Praise the Lord. Isn't it great to be alive? Aren't you glad you're sucking air? Look at somebody close to you and say, it's good that you came because you need this today. Come on, look at them and say that to them. Amen. We are so delighted to be with our friends, the Hackers. Yes, we go back a way back. Wow. Say that backwards. Wow, brother. I mean, we're talking 43 years almost. But going to share the word with you first. This is kind of cool. I don't ever do this. We usually sing a while, and then I preach and so forth. But let's go ahead and get in the Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. I have 25 or 30 different translations at home that I love and study with. Most of them I love and like. But I have spent, I got saved in 71, started preaching in 73. I'm 64 years old now. I've memorized a lot of the King James. So if you're not a King Jimmy person, that's okay. And I'm not preaching out of it because I worship King James. I worship Jesus. But can I get a witness in the house? Come on. And but I got something I want to read to you before I start. Been carrying this in my Bible for probably a couple years now. And sometimes when I go places, I like to share this. I do not want to deprive my friends. excuse me while I pick up my papers. All right. I do not want to deprive my friends in beautiful Defiance, Ohio, from this, okay? A minister decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. Four worms, you heard me, four worms were placed in four separate jars. The first worm was placed in a container of alcohol. The second worm was placed into a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm was placed into a container of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm in a container of good, clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. The fourth worm in good, clean soil, alive. So the minister asked the congregation, what can you learn from this demonstration? Little woman in the church lifted up her hand and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. Anyway, that's something you should never deprive the body of Christ, that little story. That's just, and you know what? That probably happened somewhere. It probably did. I want to preach. It's going to end up mainly, if I want to call it something, we'll call it, let us be proactive. But there's an order to becoming a proactive Christian instead of just a responder. Jesus wants us to take hold of this thing and walk in the authority that he gave us. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen. We're not to live in Needyville. There's a chapter in the book over here that I wrote called Leaving Needyville. What do you mean, leaving Needyville? Well, sometimes we're needy. Sometimes we're under it. Sometimes we need somebody to pick us up and help us. We need our brothers and sisters. But God doesn't want us to live in a constant state of responding and tragedy. Come on, amen? And always, don't get mad at me for saying this word, but the leech. He wants us to become the provider. Come on. He wants us to be a part of the body of Christ that helps the other guy this week. What if all of us came on the scene weak at the same time? That wouldn't be very good. Wouldn't be very helpful. So I want to show you what James said, some pretty straightforward stuff. As you know, he was the half-brother of Jesus. And they had the same mom, but a different dad. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And that's why we're saved, by the way. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not, excuse me, even of your lusts at war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Now, this is a great description of some folks, and we've probably all been there. Ye lust and have not. In other words, you're always wanting more, but never getting what you want. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. And the last part says, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Isn't that simple, really? I mean, but we live our lives sometimes. We do everything in the way of the great singer Frank Sinatra. He had a song that said, I did it my way. Yeah, how's that working out for you? Yeah, we could kind of tell sometimes that you've been months and maybe decades doing it your way. And we do everything we can do, and at the last minute, you think we ought to pray about that? And somebody says, has it come to that? Why should we be living on the edge and just thinking, calling on God? Now, not that God's going to do everything. There's a practical side to Christianity, and there's some stuff you have to do. And if you listen to him, he'll give you wisdom and instructions on how to get out of the mess you're in. But you need to start with him. Start with prayer. And you don't just say, God, fix this while I sit here and do nothing. No, tell me what to do. Maybe it is one of those deals where you can fix it in 2 seconds, but it might be 2 months. But God will give you wisdom. Are you getting anything out of this so far? Come on. We have not because we ask not. When I go to one of my offices, I got an office called Country Kitchen. I have one called Waffle House. But I have lost 65 to 70 pounds, so hallelujah. It's pretty good when you're happy when you get back in your 2Xs. Okay. But anyway, I am full gospel for sure, Pastor. Amen. But anyway, when I'm going there to, like, say, Waffle House, they already have my coffee sitting on the table sometimes, and they know me at Perkins, and they know me other places. But, you know, I come in, set up my office, work for a couple hours, hard copy, old school. I even got a writing tablet. Come on now. Yeah, that yellow thing, you know, keeps you organized. Okay. Anyway, I have an iPhone too. Okay. But anyway, you're sitting there and the girl comes up, may I help you? I don't say, your will be done. No, I say, I want the all-star glorified. You know the one I'm talking about. Add an egg, add one piece of sausage. Well done, hockey pucks. I want my sausage to look like hockey pucks. I want hash browns light, scrambled eggs, and keep the waffle for later. And you know what? It comes out exactly like I ask, because I got specific. See, when you hunt, you don't just start shooting up in the air and hope you get a squirrel or hope you get a duck. Come on. Aim. Be specific. Well, what if he don't do it? Well, at least you tried. At least you were offered. Sometimes I say I'd rather aim for 100 and get 50 than aim for 0 and get all of it. God's not mad at you because you talked to him. Now, sometimes in his wisdom, he'll say, you think you need that, but you don't need more money. You need to have wisdom on spending the money you have. Right. Pastor, I didn't think at your wonderful church I would have to do this. I'll sit next to this pretty lady with the flowers on today. Amen, Blaine. That's good preaching. Praise the Lord. I can tell that some of you forgot how to act in church. Now, come on, wake up this morning. Come on. We're having fun here today. We're having fun. You can have fun around God's word. He isn't mad at us because we laugh and have fun. That's an emotion he gave us, and it's way underused in the church. Okay. You have not because you ask not. Look at verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Now, what is amiss? Amiss is the opposite of a hit. That was funny. I thought that was good. But I said, well, you know, it's kind of that, but it's more like God now gets into our motives. Hello, Jesus, you're so personal. Why can't I just talk to you an hour and a half on Sunday morning? You leave me alone for the rest of the week. Why do you get into my motives? Why do you bother me about specifics? Because, son, I do not just want to be your Savior. I want to be your Lord. Can people in defiance say amen? Look here, that you may consume it upon your lust. Why do you want a new car so I can drive it around the neighborhood and show everybody I'm rich? Well, you're a nut. Repent. It's called the pride of life. You know what I mean? Sometimes we want things for the wrong reason. God knows that. But anyway, ask yourself. Now don't freak out on verse 4. There is a thing in Scripture called adultery, but this is a different kind of adultery. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Didn't say he was your enemy, but you can be his enemy if you're stupid. Folks, I'm 64. I don't mince words anymore. Say amen. 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 I don't mess with that anymore. I just tell them what it is and go on. Amen. He says the friendship of this world is enmity with God. He's not talking about the no-tell motel with the wrong woman. He's talking about spiritual adultery. He's talking about giving him your scraps. Now, when I start walking that way, it's because it's too quiet in church, and I'm going to go say amen to myself again. So please say amen. Okay, you caught me before I got there. Okay. Spiritual adultery. I'm not saying you're not saved. See, I grew up in a church, and Brother Tim, I know, and I know you do. They said the circles we ran in, the old holiness folks, they're wonderful people. They love God. You'd have to love God to put up with the junk they do. To try to be acceptable to God, they didn't realize they were already accepted in the beloved. Come on. You know what I mean? But they're, you know, we're trying to get Jesus to like me, get brownie points with him. You know, how would you know he's good enough? You're comparing yourself with other people? This little girl was looking out the window one night and saw some sheep. Look, Grandma, the pretty sheep. The next morning, it had snowed like we had one this week, a surprise snow, about 2.5 inches down there in Cincinnati. And she comes out and says, look, Grandma, it snowed. But what happened to the sheep? They look all brown and dingy and taupe. It's something like that. And she said, oh, honey, it's the same sheep. It's just they were standing on the grass last night and looked white. But when they saw the snow, the fresh fallen snow, you could see they're not really pure. Well, see, as long as we're comparing ourselves with somebody across the aisle, we look pretty clean. But when we compare ourselves to the holiness of Jesus, come on. Hello. I'll get Medea on you. Hello. Okay. God is saying to us today, you know, hey, you're not good enough. And James, right here in the same book, you don't have to turn there, but chapter 2, verse 10, that same book, he said, if you keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all of it. Hello. In other words, you need a Savior too. I keep the Ten Commandments. Praise God. Let's all try doing that. Come on, we need to do that. But did you know other laws and ordinances and precepts in the law? There was another 603. There's a total of 613. Yeah, you've had it too. You need a Savior too. Amen. I'll preach longer if you don't start saying amen. Amen. Okay. Just messing with you, folks. You're awesome. You're awesome. Okay. Now go up to verse 7. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, some people quote half of a verse. You'll say, Bible said in James 4, 7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Yeah, it says that. But that's not all it said. It said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, then resist the devil. It's kind of like this. You have no authority till you're under it. Jesus was ministering one day to a leper, and a centurion came up, Roman army, Gentile, bacon eater. And he comes up and says, I have this servant that lies at home sick of the palsy. I would that you would come. And you can read it. He interrupts him and says, I will come and heal him. Yeah, there's a whole sermon. The first part, he's preaching to the scum of the earth, the leper, and he said, I will. And then he said, I will to the rich guy too, the centurion too. So, you know, he's no respecter of persons, amen. He responds to the up-and-outers and the down-and-outers the same way, amen. But anyway, he says, I'll come. And then that's what the guy said. He said, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word only. Stay with me. Think with me. Just say it. You don't need to come to my house. Just say it. And he told him why. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go and he goeth, come and he cometh, do this and he does it. The Bible said when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, it's kind of hard to think of Jesus marveling. How do you marvel? That's the kind of engine in that thing, you know. Or Eddie Van Halen. Why do I even play? You know what I mean? Okay, you know what I mean? It's kind of like marvel. He could have scratched his head. And Jesus marveled at the guy's faith. Why? What was the guy saying? He was saying, Jesus, just like at that time it was Caligula, just like I'm under the Nero's and the Caligula's and the Domitian, these emperors, just like I'm under their authority. And I say, come, go, and do to 100 soldiers, because I'm a centurion. I recognize authority when I see it. Okay. I recognize authority when I see it. You do not have to come to my house. Just say it, because just like I tell 100 soldiers what to do and they obey me, you can talk to that palsy from here. and it'll do what you said. In other words, because you're under your father's authority, I'm under Caligula, and these soldiers listen to me. You're under your father, and that sickness has to obey you. Come on. Does that work with this thing you got up here on earth as it is in heaven? Give Jesus a hand clap. Come on, amen. In other words, we can invoke, bring the kingdom of God to people in that authority. Okay. Now, then it says, resist the devil. Humble yourselves and resist. You know, one thing about the devil, he knows if you know. There's some guys over in the book of Acts, the sons of Sceva. They said, we're going to use the name of Jesus like the Apostle Paul does. Like a tool or something, you know. And them devils said, oh, I love this, brother. This will preach. He said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Boy, wouldn't it be great to be in the same category associated with Jesus? Now, we know Paul and we know Jesus, but who are you? And the Bible said this guy, these demons in this guy, whipped all seven of them. Just whipped. I'd have seen a film of that. Not that I want to see a bunch of hairy-legged men walking around without clothes on. But one guy stripped them. Guy, that demon in him whipped. You read your Bible. It's really cool. It's really good stuff. They didn't have authority. They were mocking Paul. And that devil knew it. But boys and girls. Now, I had most of what I learned in the charismatic movement, but I grew up Pentecostal, and I'll tell you something. That one thing about them old boys like R.W. Shambach and T.D. Jakes. Ah, Lord! I'm about to get Pentecostal on you. It might be the midnight hour. It might be the middle of the night, and you can't get a hold of the hackers. But you can wield the name of Jesus in the middle of the night and run that devil off and have victory in your house and say, I might not be an ordained preacher, but I'm a born-again believer, and I have access to the name of Jesus, and I'm standing against you tonight, devil. You are no match to that name. Get out of here.
You act like you've done that yesterday.
Not every day of the week. Maybe sometimes a month or two I don't even pray that way, but sometimes you just got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Come on. Now, I love verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, this is funny. I don't think the Apostle Paul would have ever called anybody that. But see, James grew up with the most spick and span guy that ever lived. Jesus was his older brother, half-brother. Can't you imagine? They would talk to James and say, James, clean your room. Why can't you be like Jesus? Now, I got one. It sounds sacrilegious, but it's hilarious. I don't think the Lord's offended. It's funny. My son-in-law, he thinks kind of like you and me, which is scary, you know, the way he thinks. And he said one day, can you imagine Jesus didn't clean his room one day? And Joseph comes and says, son, clean your room. He said, you ain't my dad. That's hilarious to me. That is funny. No, he wouldn't have said that because Bible says he was subject to his parents, so apologize, Lord. But that is funny. That's so funny. You know, he had a man's side, a human side, you know, the one that took naps and was hungry after he didn't eat for 40 days and all those things. That was the man's side, the Luke gospel. Okay, check that out, the difference in Luke and John. Woo! Luke emphasizes his humanity. John emphasizes his deity. Okay. Now, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. But this was written, if you look over in chapter 1, it was to believers. He wrote this to the 12 tribes that are scattered, Jewish believers mainly. But he calls them sinners. Do Christians have to sin? I don't think they do. I think you can live. You might unconsciously do a sin of omission or something, but you can commit sins. I mean, you still have capability. I mean, when's the last time you woke up at 4 in the morning and ate 16 chocolate chip chewy cookies? Tell me that wasn't sin. Hello. And some of you think you're dying in the middle of the night. I'm dying. I'm dying. Oh, this pain. I said, no, you just ate 8 pieces of pepperoni pizza before you went to bed. You're not dying. You're just goofy. Draw nigh to God. You know what that says? This is the Bowman translation. Get close to God, He'll get close to you. I thought about making that song, Darling, if you want me to be closer to you, get closer. It'd be a cool song when Jesus is saying that to the church. Hey, you wonder where I'm at? Come over this way and I'll come your way. The old couple was sitting in the car, excuse me, the old pickup truck. And she's way over on the other side of the cab, and he's driving, you know. And these honeymooners come around them, horns honking, all scrunched up together, smooching while they went by, and cans and rotting on the windows and all this, just married. And the old woman looks over, man says,
I remember we used to sit that close, George.
And he said, I didn't move. And yeah, a lot of Christians, you know. See, I've been saved since 71 in the charismatic movement, Jesus movement. You and I were in the wings of that, and that music was playing. I was born in 56 in the middle of what they called the healing revival. Then a charismatic movement, God just had the nerve to give the Holy Ghost to Nazarenes and Presbyterians and Roman Catholics, whether the Pentecostals liked it or not. And then the word of faith, and then the river movement. There's waves of movements that come through, and they're all good. They're all great. They have a purpose. Truth brought forth in each one of them is never to be lost. The movement can end. You know, Brother Hagin said that the word of faith movement, I think he said 95. In his spirit, he felt like it was over 90, as far as a movement. But the truth of that, there's the great things we learned in the faith movement. You know what I'm saying? There's something in every one of them. But we don't have to wait for a movement. You hearing me? We don't have to wait for, you know, if I could just get God. Listen, I don't care if there's not one person in your county that's seeking God. If you are, He'll show up at your doorstep. Because He says, draw nigh. He didn't move. If things are cold between you and the Lord, once again, I'm not questioning your salvation. We was talking about that a little earlier, the holiness people I grew up with. I'm not kidding. I think you mentioned this on the phone yesterday too, but you said 15. I always say 150. I must have got saved 150 times before I was 11. Because I thought if you did one thing wrong, you had to go get saved again. I mean, every catfish in the Little Miami River knew my name. I mean, people, in and out. You know, it's like this. Jesus washed their feet, and Simon Peter said, wash me all over. He said, I don't need to wash you all over, just your feet. What's that speaking of? What is the metaphor here? Nothing wrong with having a foot washing service. Some churches do it, some don't. I don't think it's required, but it's okay if you want to do it as a thing of honor and submission. But he's actually saying the feet are the part that touch the world, touch the dirt, touch the earth. That's the earthiness. That's the worldliness. We pick up some contamination sometimes. And we come to church and we got dirty feet. It's not that God wants to save you again. He just wants to wash your feet, make things pure, make things clean again. You know, and that's the way in our spiritual lives. Amen? Now let's go back to 2 Samuel, and I'll do a little bit more here, and I'm finished. We're going to sing a little bit. Thank you for being such a great crowd to preach to. We had a great time last night with Pastor. Sat there about 2 hours and 15 minutes at this place called Jersey's. Yeah. Of course, I wanted the cheeseburger and the endless Pepsi and a baked potato, maybe potato skins. But no. Has salad and chicken. And sugarless tea. Father, help me. See, you don't, folks, you don't understand. I dream of waking up in a cinnamon roll and having to eat my way out. You know, know what I just thought of while y'all out there laughing, having fun this morning? The Bible said in Proverbs, you might not think you're getting ministered to. See, we have a tendency to get in a little box. This is the way we go to church, go to church, go to church. You know, and we got this, you know. I mean, that's so funny. Every church has their way. That's okay. Nothing wrong with being organized. But you know, God, you're getting ministered to, and you don't even know it. Nobody laying hands on you, putting oil on your head, no prayer line, no altar call. You're just laughing. The Bible said in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. I've had preachers have us in, blame we need to laugh. When can you come? You know, I said, well, I appreciate the compliment, first of all. And yes, here I come, brother. Look at chapter 23. David, we're talking about proactivity. See, we're talking about, well, all that stuff I preached in James is what leads up to being a proactive believer. Not just a responder. Let me share a verse in another place. You don't have to turn there, but you know Matthew 16, when Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, up on this rock will I build my church, listen, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, growing up in church, I heard preachers, you know, quote that verse, and I always thought as a kid when I heard that, they were saying, you know, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, praise the Lord. God's going to protect us. Hallelujah. But then I got to thinking about a gate. I never saw a gate chase anybody. He wasn't talking about, oh, we're over here in a corner till the rapture, we're over here in the corner till Jesus comes, and hallelujah, and God's going to take care of us. Well, he is. And there's verses on protection. Don't misunderstand me. But he's not talking about a responding church. He's talking about an offensive, get her done kind of church. I played a rock and roll song on my guitar album over here. I call it Get Her Done. I mean, anyway, it has nothing to do with anything. But there's sometimes that, you know, we need to not be over here waiting and see if the devil comes. The Bible said David hasted toward Goliath. He wasn't over there behind a tree. Now, I killed a bear one time and I killed a lion one time. I'm pretty good at this. I hope he don't see me. No, he just goes... Said he, the Bible said he hasted. This little guy running toward this guy over 9 feet tall. Proactive. Well, David had some bad, 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 bad to the bone guys that ran with him too. Bad, bad, bad. Some of you heard that rock song. Okay. I like blues. Look at verse 8. And these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat on the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. What if your name was Adino? That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I don't know. What's your name? Adino. I have a pastor friend, used to pastor in Kentucky, named Dino Mooney. Go figure. Coolest name I ever heard of. Dino Mooney. He's a missionary and now to Kenya. Okay, now listen. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Now, first of all, you can't do that in the natural. But see, wrap your head around this, some Old Testament theology, but God kept the bloodline pure and he raised up men like David and these guys to wipe out these giants and some of these people. And these guys were actually anointed to fight. Let me share a Blainism with you. This is a Blainism. I've never read this. I read a lot of commentaries. I'm not saying everything I preach is original. Any preacher that tells you that's lying through their teeth. We all learn from each other. But this was 950 to 1000 B.C. About 450 years later, 600 to 500 B.C., the Greeks were in charge. That's where you get your Hercules, your gods, when you watch Troy, or Gladiator, or Ben-Hur. Oh, we must go fight tomorrow, for the gods are with us. What gods? They had all these weird gods, you know, and these people that had wings and flew too close to the sun, and it melted, and they fell down and got killed. Yeah, I mean, Hercules. Those guys didn't exist. I mean, they might have had some bad guys in the Greek army, but listen, I believe around the campfire in 800 B.C., 700 B.C., 600 B.C., there were stories told, oh, there were great warriors many years ago. story is told that one of them killed 800 men with one spear. I believe it was Hebrew warriors that those guys, they folklore passed down. And then it became this thing in their head called the gorge. That's a Blainism. You might not agree, but when you get to heaven, the Lord will let you know I was right. Now look at verse 9, okay? And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dudu. Folks, you can't make this up. There's only one way to spell do, D-O. What are you doing? I don't say, what are you doing today? Now, once again, this is Hebrew. It was translated. I don't know what the original Hebrew word was here for dodo, but either name would make people laugh. Yeah. What's your name? The guy goes to school the first time. What's your name, young man? Doo-doo. Right down the hall on the right side there. Okay, my point is, what a break his mom gave him. Doo-doo. Dodo. The son of Dodo. Anyway. See, you didn't know you could have so much fun with the Bible, did you? Okay. One of three mighty men of David when they defied the Philistines. Okay. Now look at verse 10. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. His hand clave to the sword. That's before they knew about, you know, potassium and bananas and Gatorade. He probably got dehydrated and he couldn't even take his hand off his sword. He came home and couldn't get his hand loose. It's like a Charlie horse. Ever get a Charlie horse in the middle of the night? Ah! Deep sleep, great dream going. And all of a sudden, the left calf goes, eek, eek, eek. Don't lay there and suffer. Get up. Stand on it. It'll go away immediately, for one thing. It'll stop. But then, go to the kitchen. Always have bananas hanging. Across the counter, potassium. Go pop a potassium pill, about 500 milligrams. Big glass of water, a banana. 15 minutes, it's gone. Sleep like a baby. That's Dr. Bowman's philosophy. Okay. You speak as one that knows. I've been there, done that, baby. 11. And after him was Shammah. This is the next to last guy. Then we're going to talk about one more guy and we're done. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground of lentil, full of lentils, a.k.a. sweet peas. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord won a great victory. This guy named Shammah, now the Pentecostal preacher from Louisiana, James Swigert, used to preach a sermon back in the 80s called, I've Left This Pea Patch My Last Time. And boy, he preached it too. And it was about Shammah. This guy, what would happen? They'd plant their crops. And these stinking Philistines up on the hillside with their binoculars watched them grow all summer. Hey, Hinkaside, come over here. Hinkaside, did I just make that one up? Hinkaside, come over here. I think it's ready. We can go reap them lentils today. And they come in, steal their crops at the last minute. Elbow somebody close to you and say, at the last minute. Say it to them. Come on. Say, at the last minute. See, some of you have worked and labored and prayed and done well, and at the last minute, that old devil come knock you in the head and try to knock you off the horse and steal what God's given to you. And Shammah said, I've had it. You bunch of chickens, go home if you want to, but I ain't leaving. And he stood there and protected the crops and killed the whole army. Some of you need to stomp your foot and say, devil, I've come too far for you to rob what God's given me. Get a little Pentecostal on me this morning. Come on now. And I've had enough of this. You're not stealing it. Folks, he'll know if you know. And if you know, he'll leave. I've got one more to share, but I've not been to the watering hole. I always hated to be sitting in church really wanting a drink and some preacher up there drinking water in front of me. Anyway, I'm on the other side now. Okay. Somebody needs to stand your ground. Draw a line in the sand. No more. No. God didn't want me to live in Needyville. I might visit it a few times in my life. I was flat on my back 11 days in September. I never laid around that long in my life. I went and got tested toward the end, and they said I didn't have the COVID, but whatever it was, I had the symptoms, didn't smell, didn't taste, weak, didn't want to walk from here to that door. I mean, she was a great nurse. So I've been there. I'm not up here arrogantly preaching faith to you like some Superman that knows it all. Baby, I've been through chapter 13. I woke up in the morning, my vehicle for my ministry was hauled off in the middle of the night because of repossession. I've been there. Started preaching 47 years ago. It ain't always been easy. But God's kept us going, provided. Even in the COVID year, we had 28 cancellations, but God provided. I want to say something, and I wouldn't do that, Pastor. I don't want to embarrass you at all, but sometimes squeezing money out of a preacher is like getting water out of a turnip. But in the middle of my year, your pastor's wife, they sent us a personal gift for a ministry. And I know you don't want your left hand to know what your right's doing, and I'm not trying to build, you know. I just want you to know. We did. It was Lisa's idea. I thought it was your idea, Pastor, all this time. I'm just kidding. My point is this. Isaac, read the chapter sometime. 26 Genesis says there was a famine in the land, and this man sowed, and God blessed him 100-fold. Now, I'm not worried about 100-fold, but it did say 100-fold. Some guy said, I'm claiming a jet. I'm claiming a Corvette. Get a job for us, moron. What's wrong with you? I mean, God, I'm not weird on prosperity, but I believe in it. I believe God multiplies when you obey and you do what you're supposed to. Anyway, I'm chasing rabbits, but I'm enjoying the hunt. Amen? Go down to verse 20. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. Listen to this. This is the great finale, okay? He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went also down into and slew a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. So nonchalantly. They're on the battlefield. These two Moabites down there, they look like Chewbacca. That's the kind of laugh I've been waiting on all day, blood. That's the kind of laugh I've been waiting on all day. I don't know if they look like Chewbacca, but the Bible says that they were hairy guys, lion-like looking guys. And Obadiah's out there with his sword. I'm going to go get them too. And I'm sure the guy said, you need some backup? I got this, man. And then it says, now this is the grand finale of my sermon. Proactive, listen. He's walking along one day on a snowy day. Oh, the weather outside is right. A lion. Ooh, this sounds like fun. And he goes in a pit on a snowy day and kills a lion. First of all, if I was going to kill a lion, it would be August. I would have a 30-30 with a nice scope crosshair on a clean hayfield cut low, the lion 1,000 feet away, plenty of ammo. I'm sure I would get him before he got to me. But not Benaiah. He didn't wait for a nice, clear, sunny day. First of all, if you're on the edge of the hole and it's snowing, it might be slick and you fall right into the lion's mouth. What's wrong with you? But not Benaiah. My point is this. He didn't wait for the battle to come to him. He took the battle to them. This isn't an elephant donkey thing, what I'm about to say. But we have been a blessed people. That are other than that surprise attack on 9/11, 100 years probably at least, we're over that. We've been a blessed people that we've always taken the battle to them. Don't even get close to us. We're going to come get you. this mighty eagle mentality. But that's what God wants us to say today. Sometimes it takes a while for your kids to get saved. Sometimes it takes a while for the bank account to look right. Sometimes it takes a while for that body to mend like you want it to. There's a progression. There's a gradualness of it. But if you've gone 15 years and nothing's changed, you might consider my sermon today. Help, Lord, help. There's times you pray that way. It's called crying to the Lord. One of my chapters in my book is called Crying to the Lord. There's a special kind of praying where you just find yourself a cornfield and let her rip, buddy. Just talk to Jesus, you know, maybe with tears. But then there's other times you get up off of that and get out of Needyville. I'm about to say the last part of my sermon, and when I do, I want you to clap for Jesus. There's about time you get out of Needyville and get proactive. Amen. Pastor, I so much enjoyed sharing this. Now listen, they're going to be ministry. They're going to end up with some worship. Awesome. But listen, let's just right now, not be getting spooky on you, but just close your eyes a minute and think about your life. You can say it out loud if you want to. You can whisper it to the Lord. He even knows what you're thinking, okay? But Lord, I'm drawing a line in the sand today. What a perfect place to preach it. There's a line right across the front of the floor here. I'm drawing a line in the sand. And Lord, I've left this pea patch my last time. Hallelujah. Can we give him some praise right now, some verbal praise? Come on. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his name. Thank you, Lord. There's an anointing right now. You can be healed right now. Come on, just reach out there. I've left this pea patch. You might want to say that. I've left this pea patch my last time. However long it takes to get out of this, we're going to get out. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. No more waiting and laying around letting the devil pick on us. You take your grip and let go of my head. I'm not going to be in your headlock anymore, Satan. So that was for somebody. Mental anguish. The devil just messing with you, tormenting you in your mind. Jesus' name. We cast down every imagination, every thought to the obedience of the cross. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.